There are many people that took part in that to make it a success, and it really honored the Lord. I'm so glad that you were able to be here to hear the presentation tonight. Just want to take a few minutes to speak about something that happened a few years later after the virgin birth. It's found in Matthew chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 1 through 12. And in these 12 verses, we have a record of the wise men who came to worship Christ. The desire of the wise men, the demand of Herod, and the design of God are the points to this outline. We'll find two kings in this text. One is Herod, the other is Christ. You can only have one king in your life. The wise men chose to worship Christ, and I hope you'll do the same tonight. First of all, verses 1 and 2, we see the desire of the wise men. They wanted to find Jesus and worship him. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." How did they find out about this king? They're called wise men. The Greek word is magos. We get magi from that. These were scientists who also studied astronomy. The star that they saw in the sky may have been the only revelation that they had as to the infant king they wanted to see. Some think they may have learned about the Messiah from Jewish scholars who traveled to the east with the Old Testament scriptures. Some think they may have known Balaam's words in Numbers 24:17, "There shall come a star of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." One thing we do know, man can't find God without God revealing himself to us. Today, he reveals himself in his word, the Bible. In this book, he tells us who he is and who we are, and what we need to do to come to him in salvation, have our sins forgiven. And there is something else that we can learn. When God reveals himself, we're required to respond. In verse 2, these wise men saw the star in the east, and they came to worship him. That's how they responded to his revelation. The verse tells us the place of his birth, Bethlehem of Judea. Micah 5:2 is the prophecy for that. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth is of old, from everlasting." This verse also tells us the time of his birth, in the days of Herod the king. In the year 47 B.C., Julius Caesar appointed Herod Antipas procurator of Judea. He divided into four regions an area ruled by, each one ruled by one of his four sons. This Herod was one of his sons. He was appointed the Tetrarch, king of Judea. Well, how far did they travel to find this newborn king? They came from the east. Some think it was from Parthia, northeast of Babylon. They traveled to Jerusalem, which is 5 miles north of Bethlehem. They asked Herod where the king of the Jews was born. Herod was over the Jews, but he was not Jewish. He was an Edomite, a descendant from Esau. His home and his palace were established in Jerusalem. These wise men said that they had seen the star in the east and had come to worship the Christ child. Some say the star was a supernova. Some say that was planets that were aligned. Both are unlikely because of the wording in verse 9. The star went before them. This was a special star. This was a miraculous sign. It was seen in the east. It led them to Jerusalem. And they came with the purpose, again, of worshiping the King of the Jews. Spurgeon writes, "So will my heart never rest till it finds out the Lord." The desire of the wise men. Second, the demand of Herod in verses 3 through 8. His demand was made because of his anger. Verses 3 and 4, we read, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. he was troubled. The word there is agitated, upset. It means to boil. And the king's anger affected others. All of Jerusalem was troubled with him. The Jews, the religious leaders of Israel, he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He demanded of them where Christ would be born. And they knew the answer. Verses 5 and 6. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least of the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and he shall rule my people. These religious leaders knew the scriptures. They knew the prophecy about Christ and where he would be born, but they themselves didn't go the 5 miles to see him. It's possible for people to know a lot about Christ today, but still not know him personally. It's possible to be religious, but indifferent. Let's not make the mistake that these religious leaders made. His demand was manipulated by a lie to the wise men, verses 7 and 8. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. His demand was made in private. There was secrecy. He didn't want others to know what he was asking these wise men. His inquiry was diligent. It says he inquired of them diligently. The word is actually doubled there. Inquiring, he inquired. He pressed them for an answer. His demand was specific. He wanted to know the time of the star's appearance, maybe so he could figure out how old the king was. His demand was enforced. He sent them and said, search diligently, same word that we saw before, for the young child. He's saying, I have to have this information. Don't let anything else hinder you from bringing this back to me. His demand was deceptive. He said that I may come and worship him also. Herod was already planning to remove the threat of any other king in Judea. He would slay all the newborn infants in the land, and you can read about that in verses 16 through 18. But in verses 9 to 12, we see the design of God. God is in control of all the details of this event. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. God led these wise men to the place where Jesus was. It's said to be a house in verse 11. The word for house there shows that he's no longer in the manger. There's another indication that this happened a few years later. Jesus is now a small child. Matthew uses the word for a half-grown child, literally. Luke uses the word brephos, that's an infant, a newborn baby. God led them to find the one that they were searching for. And they reacted with strong emotion when they saw the star. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They worshiped him, and they brought three gifts: gold, a valuable medal, the medal of a king. Jesus was born a king. Frankincense, a sweet fragrance used in temple worship. It speaks of Jesus' holy life. He was born to be a sinless, perfect sacrifice. And myrrh, the juice of an Arabian myrtle that was used in burial. Jesus was born to die. The desire of the wise men, they wanted to worship the king. The demand of Herod, he wanted to be the only king. The design of God, that by Christ's death, he would pay your penalty for sin. I'd ask you to bow your heads. Gary will play a little music, and let me ask these questions. Is Jesus your Savior? Does he rule your life? If he's not on the throne of your heart tonight, in the quietness of this time, will you accept the payment that Christ made on the cross for your sin? The Bible says that we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we're sinners, we have eternal death. We deserve that, but God offers eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he promises to save us if we admit our sin and call on him to save us. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you accept him tonight as your Savior? Simply pray. Say, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve forgiveness. But somehow you sent your Son to die for my sin, and I accept that payment tonight. I trust him as my Savior. Second question, does he rule on the throne of your heart? There can only be one king. And if he's not your king, will you crown him as your king tonight? Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we've had to hear the presentation of the scriptures and the choir and the children as they've reminded us again who the Lord of glory is. And I pray that if there's one here tonight who's still searching, that their search will end. They'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll crown him king of their lives, accept him as their Savior, and worship him. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.